Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting, a show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and welcome back. We are on episode 82, and today we are going to go over the unwritten rules in powerlifting. And I didn't even know if I wanted to even say it like this because it implies that I may know all the unwritten rules. I do not. These are just some, I would say, etiquette that is not really talked about, but you learn when you're in powerlifting long enough. So after a while, you just kind of know these things. And some of the things are shitty things, like things you probably shouldn't be doing. I take that back. Most of the things are going to be things that you probably shouldn't be doing. But I'm hoping that when you hear this, that you take it, you understand that if this is you in any of these things that I talk about here today, that those are totally workable. And I would recommend that you kind of think about these things as you are continuing your powerlifting journey. So first of all, I wanted to thank you all for tuning in and being so wonderful and sending me snapshots and, you know, I always say snapshots. I don't know why. And taking screenshots. Hello, I feel so old right now. Of when you're listening to the show and tagging the people who are guests. I mean, they love it. And it, you know, one of the things that we really want to know as somebody who produces this show is that the content is helping you some way, right? Like, is it helping you become a better powerlifter? Are you learning a little bit more? Are you feeling a little bit more connected to people? And if you are, then let me know. I love hearing that. So thank you to everybody who has reached out to me, especially recently. I had a lot more people reach out. It was like so sweet. It makes me so like happy about it. I did want to thank Tara, the walking deadlifter. She left us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you can take the time today and leave us a review, it helps the show grow. Tara said, I love the show. I love how relatable and positive Heidi is. Each guest, I feel like I'm in the room with them drinking coffee, pre-workout, or even a beer. And it's possible. You know what's funny? I will say this. I don't usually drink beer because on the show because I get a little nasally. And even right now, I'm recording it towards the end of the day and I start getting a little bit more congested. Like, how old can you be when that happens? So I wouldn't drink a beer myself. I do it after. But she goes on to say, as a competitive lifter, I learn from each guest, a great variety of guests, and I love to hear Heidi and her guests go raw and tell their personal story. The what the F was I thinking? What the fuck was I thinking? That Heidi asks her guests is gold. And I love that one because I feel like we get sort of an unfiltered view of the shit that people have gone through. And it just reminds me, and I hope it reminds you, that we're all human and we make mistakes, especially starting something out new. And a lot of people who are starting this, you know, listening are people who are just starting out. So welcome to you. Thank you, Tara. And if you have some time today and you're listening to this right now, take a screenshot and send it to me and share it if you think it's going to be helpful. And this episode is brought to you by my gym, Core Strength and Performance, where we live through strength. And we are helping people online and in person. But I love to work with people online because I feel like, you know, talking is a medium for me and video and all these things that I get to do with people online. And there are a lot of people who just don't have enough coaching. And one of the things I love to do with my online members is really give them coaching feedback. So what I do a lot of is, you know, watch your videos, talk about your programming, you know, of course, but really give feedback on how you're going to be a better lifter and keep you accountable in those things. So if you're interested in either powerlifting or nutrition, which I both, you know, we offer both at my gym, and we do it virtually, visit core256.com, or you can visit me on Instagram and just hit me up with a message. I'd love to connect with you and see if it's the right fit for you. Now, let's get it started with episode 82. The unwritten rules in powerlifting. So I'm going to start off with number one, and there are five here today. within each of these categories, there is a subcategory, and I will have it kind of listed out on YouTube. So if you're listening to this, this will be on YouTube in the following couple days, where I'll just kind of like itemize things there and maybe add a little fluff here and there. But number one in this list of things that are slight pet peeve of mine, and I'm sorry, I probably will go off on a couple of these things, is record hunting. Now, there's a big difference between you competing in your category and noticing that there are no records, and you're like, I'm going to try to go for those records. Or maybe you going up a class and because you see that there are records that you can hit in there. There's nothing wrong with that. My problem with record hunting, and I've seen this several occasions over many different states, so not just my state. I think I first realized how much of a problem it was when I was in California at a meet. And there was a coach who had a lifter in a single ply division. And I was like, damn, I never see anybody in single ply. Rarely do you, within the USPA. And the lifter was not somebody who probably was lifting a long time, didn't validate being in a single ply. Now, I didn't realize anything until somebody afterwards, one of the other judges was like, well, he's kind of he just looks for records. He likes to print them out, put them on top of his gym and be like, we're a record winning gym. And this is my problem because from that point on, I noticed how people do this. And my pet peeve is when you won as a coach in this situation and other situations, allow or maybe even guide your athlete into these divisions just to win a record. Mind you, most of these records are state records, and nothing against state records. I'm a records chairman for Alabama. It's the fact that state records are broken more often than not because they're usually a little bit less in the amount they're done, right? Like national records is going to be a lot higher. What I'm saying is that you're pushing and guiding somebody into this area and training with the intention of breaking records, but kind of doing it at all costs in a way. You know what I mean? There is very little morale towards this push. And this is where it becomes problematic because I have seen people compete in categories like a classic raw where their knees are wrapped when these motherfuckers cannot even body weight. They cannot squat their body weight raw or in sleeves, but then you're going to put knee wraps on them. This is problematic for the athlete because they need to have a good baseline of strength. Now, I can understand if some people want to compete in classic raw and they want, that's what they want to do and they want to start off that way. You as a coach got to know that these people need to have a baseline strength. So there needs to be sort of a progression to that. Now, that's one pet peeve of mine when it comes to record breaking. The next part of this is when people compete in a division and they don't actually need the gear for it. For example, you can compete in a single ply division, but you don't have to wear any kind of gear. You can compete in the classic raw division, but you do not have to wrap your knees. I don't know if you guys know this, because essentially you're at a disadvantage, right? If you are competing with a suit, the suit's going to give you help. So it is the thought that wearing the suit in that category is going to be a benefit to you. If you decide not to wear it, it's not in your benefit to do that. The only reason somebody would do that is to get a record. And it's very obvious. And my problem with this is that it just looks bad. It really does. And I personally don't like it. I know other people who are like kind of in my position. We all kind of know, like, it's a cheap move. And, chasing records and trying to get a record is an amazing feat. But doing it at the expense of just kind of like, oh, well, the record's there, it's not a good look. So if you are thinking about doing that, just keep this in mind. Like, other people are going to know that you're just trying to get that record for that. And yeah, it may look cool when you tell, you announce on your Facebook, like, yeah, got 6 state records and blah, blah, blah. The people in the community, they know, like, hey, you got those records. because nobody won. Nobody, there was no record in there, which is fine. But you chose that division, that category, just for the record. It's okay. You don't have to break a record all the time. I can't even remember the last time I broke a record. It's okay. But I'm very happy with my trading. So that's number one. Hate to kick it off like that, but it's a pretty big one for me, and it's bothered me over the years. So just keep those things in mind when competing. Number two, warm-up etiquette. Now this one is, I think we don't think about these things until you compete. So if you haven't competed, just keep these things in mind. In the warm-up room, normally you're going to have two platforms or two areas to warm up. If it's a bigger meet, you might have three or four. You might even have up to eight. But normally if it's a state meet, you're going to have anywhere from two to three warm-up areas. Okay. So there's only going to be two areas where you can really kind of get down. There might be multiple bars that you can use, but usually it's just two. Now, how this is important is because let's say you're all deadlifting, right? We have the first flight. We need to keep in mind, and this is something that is more of an etiquette. If you are a much lighter opener, so let's say you're in the first six people, right? You're opening up with a lighter amount. Those people should all be warming up in one area, and they should be on one platform area to warm up. And the other people should be on the other platform area because they're opening up with a bigger number. And what that does is it really kind of makes things more balanced, right? Like you're going to have, you don't have to strip the weight a lot, right, in order to get there. And it also goes the same for like squatting. You usually try to keep the heights and the weights about the same. You're going to have some here and there. And sometimes you just like to jump in, like you can get in there and, you know, get where you can get your warm up. However, keep those things in mind, because when you're warming up, let's say on squats, and you're with a group of very tall men, they're going to have to like help you bring it back down. And it's not their job to do it, nor is it anybody else there who is helping. Those people are only helping. It's none of the staff, or there's nobody designated to move your bar up and down on a squat. That's your job, or your friends or your coaches. But I've seen people get a little entitled, like, oh, you're not going to lower that for me? Nah, bitch, that's your job. We're hard here, right? we're making powerlifting hard again. Like, no, those are things that like, yes, if you have somebody there who's helping you, wonderful, but do not feel like there is somebody supposed to be there doing that for you. So when you're keeping those things in mind, we also just want to keep in mind like, all right, let's try to balance out when you're doing warmups. Also, this is another thing. The warm-up area is for everybody. It's not just for you to compete. I haven't had this happen, but when I was talking to a friend of mine who about, you know, like, what are some things that you guys think about when we talk about etiquette? They said that they had somebody recently who asked their friend to reserve the bar. And if you're watching YouTube, I'm using quotes here, reserve the bar for him. So he literally sat on the bar while the friend walked away to do no, I don't know what. And then got little stink when like people were like, hey, can we use it? That is not your bar. That is for everybody to use. And you should never feel like you have, like you're going to be holding the bar or that you deserve to have that next. Like there is a little bit of a balance, right? We want to be maybe assertive when we're like, hey, I really need to get this warm up in there. But do it with kindness. Like don't ever feel like you deserve it. It's so much easier to be kind, and people are way more better when you do that. So don't be an asshole when it comes to being on the warm-up area. Number three, this goes for meet day as well. And this is more of like a courtesy thing, I think, that helps me as a judge. And this is kind of like one of those things that would make things a whole lot easier. Now, this is unwritten, right? Some of these things are written, like I'm sure in a very nice way. They say, don't be an asshole in the USBA rule book. But there is an etiquette portion on warming up and things like that. But having your attempts ready. So instead of taking those couple minutes where you're standing there and you're looking at the numbers and you're like, and you're looking at your friend or you're running off and they have to find you, like have some sort of system down. If you're by yourself, that's totally fine. I used to compete by myself for years, even with my husband there. He was there for support, but I had all my numbers. You know, I really advocate to be a independent lifter in the sense that you can take care of all these things on your own. You can handle yourself. You can chalk yourself up. You know your numbers. You know where to go. You know when to eat. Those are very important things. And one of those on that list is really having your attempts ready. And even if you don't stick to them, the fact that you have them makes it so much easier for everybody, especially the people running the meet, because it can be a little nerve-wracking and it throws a lot off. If you take the full minute, lots of times they give you a couple more seconds because they feel bad. Like, well, you know what? I really don't want to just bump you up 2.5. Like, come on, figure something out right now. And then it just slows everything down. So as an etiquette, just have all your attempts ready to go. Number two on this meet day, so this is like a 2-3A-3B, maybe? Okay. Number B, arguing with the judges. Don't do it. I had somebody who showed me a video after their lifter benched and the call was uneven lockout. And I've had many people tell me things before, but this guy was adamant. For one, you never try to talk to a judge in the middle of the flight to show them, you know, like, oh, look, it wasn't an uneven lockout. It doesn't matter. You can show all the video you want. Nothing is going to change afterwards. The only time that there is going to be some sort of change is if there is a blatant problem with the call. And I'm going to give you this example. I had an athlete who was competing and the call, and this is not with USPA or any known federation. This was at a lower level of high school. And the call was a white light and they mistakenly gave her a red light. Now, they said it was a mistake. I clicked the wrong, you know, light. It was supposed to be a white. That should be argued. Like, hey, listen, I should have gotten this. What's happening right now? That is probably like the only time where it was their fault and they admitted it and that should be rectified. That is the only time I would say that, you know, some sort of argument, and not even argument. I think you're really just trying to say, hey, this is the right thing. That's the right call. Trying to reverse a call by arguing with the judges is never good. One, it's a bad look. People remember you. Us judges remember you like, oh, you're that difficult guy that was like, you know, like you don't want that. And it's not going to change anything in the end. All right. 3C. And this is more of a cautionary thing. Is staying with the bar. So if you are squatting, you have to stay with the bar if you ever fail. That means that if you don't come up with the bar, I mean, with the squat, instead of dumping it back, you actually stay with the bar. This happens so much that people let go of it out of fear. And I get it. You know, I get that that can be a fear thing, but it's a big deal if you do not stay with the bar. Now there's instances where the bar tilts over and it loses, you know, like they tried to stay with it and something happens. It's totally different. We're talking about just like sticking with the bar and not hopping forward and let it dump back, because what's going to happen is you're going to break somebody's arm behind you or on the side of you, or you're going to hurt them. So that is an etiquette thing. Stay with the bar, meet day. Number four, and this is kind of an overarching theme through, I think, all of these is, you know, be respectful. Like that should be a given. But through all of this, there's a lot of people who will be very disrespectful, not very kind, and sometimes their heads will get to them, you know? So these, I've seen people who are very, very strong lifters, and just sometimes they can just be assholes. And then you see strong lifters who are like, how are you like the kindest person ever? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Susan Salazar is a perfect example of somebody who I've always looked up to Susan and like fangirl. And when I met her, I was so blown away by how sweet she was. And I was like, this is like crazy. I mean, she's so amazing. She's so strong. Jen Rotzinger, another one who was like very cool, down to earth. Like these are people who deserve, if they were anybody who should have an ego, it's them, and they don't. So just keep your arrogance in check and just be humble and be kind throughout this process. And number five. And this one is a big one for me, okay? Social media, your social media conduct. And I'm going to put this one out here because I don't often get, you know, drama or anything like that. I would say probably on the whole, the federations do and things like that. But I was called out. I was called out on a call that was not in the person's favor. And they gave him a red light, and he felt that he was, quote unquote, robbed. All right. That probably costed him the best lifter. And when people do things like call somebody else out for a bad lift, or in this case, tagged me in numerous videos, tagged the judges in numerous videos, and went on to say how he was robbed, how it was, you know, it should have been this, should have been that. It is not a good look. And, you know, I personally don't respond to those kind of things because, one, nothing's going to change. If you choose to do this, if you choose to, you know, blatantly call out, you know, a bad lift in a way where you think it's going to make you look better, it is not. In fact, everybody now knows that you are the person who called them out and tagged them in things where you were bitching about it. And it's never a good look. And in the end, it doesn't change a thing. That's the worst part. It's like you just put that all out there, but now nothing has changed. You know, the meat still goes on. The things progress as they are. Is it sad when that happens? Of course. You know, like I never, never want anybody to bomb out, get red lights. Like nobody wants that. We always want to see people succeed. Do I feel that that lift should have been a white or a red? It doesn't matter what I feel. The lift is still counted as what it was on the platform. So just keep in mind when you are posting things post-meet, before meet, have a better conduct with yourself. Like just think about the things before you post them because nothing is going to change with you putting something else out there like that. Nobody will look at you bad either. That's the thing. It's like even if that was the call, and even if the meet, you know, doesn't go as planned for you, nobody is going to be like, you piece of shit. You couldn't even pull it together. No, like the person got the lift. It just wasn't counted because it wasn't, you know, for whatever reason, it wasn't counted. But they picked up the weight. Like in my book, I'm like, shit, I got that. Like, poof, check that off there. At least I got that. I know I got that strength in the bag. I just like to point this one out because, you know, like, they're probably a wonderful person. They're probably super nice. And if this is you and you've done this, like it's never too late to change this sort of behavior. If you've done any of these kind of things, just know that, you know, this is a behavior that you can adjust and you can change for the future. And, you know, it ain't like you got to be best friends with people at the meet. Shit, you're competing against them. You could be how you want. But being, you know, a decent person, that's important. And the underlying things of all these is that sometimes people just kind of lose grip of what's important, man. We got to be kind of good human beings. And if you are being an asshole in the warm-up area, calling people out, you know, copping an attitude, claiming things, like in the end, you're just being shitty. And if you just be a little bit more kind and check yourself a tiny bit here and there, I don't think any of these things would result. So, not to end on the brightest note ever. but yes, if you are looking when you compete, if you are wanting to chase records and things like that, you know, it's up to you if you want to do that. If you want to chase records in the way that I'm telling you that probably isn't the best, that's up to you. Just know that people know. And in the end, like, is it really that important to you? Did you do it that way? I hope not. Y'all, this has been great. I feel like I've gotten a lot off my chest. If you know of anybody who's done these things, or if there's any other etiquettes, I'd be very intrigued to hear if y'all have some other etiquettes that need to make maybe like a part two. I'll consider it. But good luck on your lifting and y'all have fun when you compete.